recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck White as a staff. Reckoning one as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be that with Whitey, then fuck you too.
Bonfire!
Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut the Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. the controversial Canadian Negro, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador.
Yay! Yay!
Yeah. All right, today's date is July 26th. You know what? And it feels like it's July 26th. It's what's today's temperature is like 27. It's hot. It's fucking hot. And I'm bitching about the weather. It's more apparent that it's hot out there because I turned off the AC. Sure, I can filter it out, but that involves looking up information. So it's easy for me to turn off the AC, feel the heat, complain about the heat, and guilting you for this heat than it is for me to look up the documentation. Yeah, July 26, 2026, and we are at episode 357, 357. And today I will be talking about how I have nothing to say. That's a lie. I do. But I don't want to say it. That's what it is. All right. But before we do that, we're going to start. I will share some quotables and some randomness. Are you ready? Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Today's quotable is I'm going to do something slightly different. And this is one of those, the medium is the message kind of situation. Meaning, who is saying it is more important than what's being said.
A lot of countries don't like me. They say, who do you like better, Sleepy Joe Biden or Trump? Oh, I like Biden better. Yeah, because he didn't let them do what they're doing. He doesn't have a clue, the guy. He just goes to sleep at 4 o'clock every damn day. He doesn't have a clue. And he's destroying, they're destroying our country. You see, that's the real threat to democracy, stupid people. That's the threat. Our biggest threat to democracy is stupid people.
Yeah. that was the president of the United States talking about the real threat to democracy is stupid people. And it's just, what's that word that Kamala said about him? That's so rich coming from him. I mean, if you don't see the comedy in what he just said, I just can't help you. I don't know what to tell you. All right, so let that, maybe I think the word of wisdom is sometimes what you say doesn't matter as much as who you are as the person saying it type of thing. Yeah. All right, that's it. All right, let's jump into some randomness. And yeah, we are going full random on today's episode.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
I feel the need, just jump in. All right, so I didn't record last Wednesday. One part is, you know what? It was two parts. First one is, it was a cooler day, and I took the time to do some adult shit and maintain my AC. Not that it's not your problem, but I wanted to pat myself on the shoulder for doing some grown-up shit. Yeah, apparently the AC that I have these two portable AC units, and you're supposed to maintain it every week. I don't do that. So I followed the maintenance manual for that day, and it takes a lot of time. And the other reason is I really wasn't feeling it. Sometimes this podcast is like, I feel like sometimes this podcast can feel like a portrait, and I just wasn't inspired. That's really what it was about. Really not feeling inspired.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, for this next one, no sound clip. Okay. I'm watching, let me put it. This is what I wrote down. It said, not enjoying Master of the Universe, enjoy Black Mass. So what happened is I attempted to watch Masters of the Universe. You know how bad a movie has to be for me to not enjoy it while I'm high? I'm just saying. I got to remind myself. Actually, I'm trying to, with these movies, I'm trying to say these are kids' movies. Like, younger me would probably appreciate, would have probably enjoyed it. But it's getting tough. I think it's one of those, I'm not sure what their audience is. Because I don't know if kids would enjoy that. You know what? Fuck it. I'm just glad, I'm happy Idris Elba is in there playing a cartoonish character. Next one is Black Mass. So what's interesting about this one is I rewatched it. First time I watched it, it's whatever. Like, hey, violence, gruesome violence, love it. Second time I watched it, I took the time to like immerse myself in the movie, and I think what I like. Maybe I should read about the character Whitey Bulgy. Whitey, whatever. He's in prison, right? Anyways, I love the. It reminded, it's, I think for me, it's a perfect analogy of masculinity, or today's version of I'm going to say masculinity, the marketed version of masculinity, in that he's a big, tough guy. He's backed by the FBI, by the government. And it's the whole being one thing, saying one thing and being something different. This character, or this person, he hated rats. He's a criminal who told people who had a code against rats. But he found a gray line, but he managed to rationalize his way into getting the support from the FBI. Like, he presented it to his crew as, it's just an alliance. And I get it. You know, you make a strategic alliance with with a more powerful enemy than your more powerful, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend type of thing like that. But this is the fucking feds. Okay, you know, I'm not going to dig into what he was thinking, but it was more, I love how the movie put emphasis on the fact that he hated rats while being one. This is the analogy I was making about masculinity. It's not all men. I get it. Yeah. It's the men out there who present themselves as one thing, but they're something completely off. That's why I guess I'm very, I just thought it went well. On the flip side, would I talk shit about him in his face? Does it matter that the dude with the gun in your face is a hypocrite? No, and it's not just the fact that he's got a gun in your face, but he's willing to pull the trigger. I mean, I'm getting too deep. I am.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. This one here, it's the term artificial femininity women that got my attention. Let me read it. First, I'll describe it. This is what happened. Starting to feel the warmth. All right. So it's a post I found on feminism, on the feminism sub on Reddit. And the picture is, on one side, you have a black and white image of a woman with her arm off, exposing the hair under her armpit. And on the other one, it's kind of interesting. it's in color, but it's out of focus. And I don't think all this is intentional. Let me just describe the image. It's in, on the right panel, it's in color, a little bit out of focus, and it's just a woman who is conventionally attractive. And like all done up. She got her long blonde hair. She's wearing like a black skirt. Yeah, short outfit skirt and high heel pumps. And I don't know, you know, not that I don't buy a women's product, but I get the feeling like she's like, this is like expensive, whatever, right? And here's the text that's right below. It goes, the artificial femininity women are sold is quite literally man-made. Excuse me. The artificial femininity women are sold is quite literally man-made, man-intended, and therefore masculine. The woman on the left, doing in black and white, here looks exactly like a woman naturally looks. She couldn't be any more womanly or feminine. But the woman on the right is intentionally taking steps trying to look less like a woman. The result is a male fantasy rooted in fetishism and far removed from what female human beings look like. So she is not hyper feminine, she is hyper masculine. Interesting. Yeah. Someone else on the subreddit, I'm going to read the last caption. Someone else on the subreddit posted about the female nudity is always depicted as... Okay, doesn't matter. It's not relevant to the point I was trying to make. This is me staying in my lane. I'm trying to say that I am going to stay in my lane. I am not... It's less the conversation about the topic because my point is it could get deeper than that, and I would rather hear it from an expert to like speak directly to the point of this message. Where I'm coming from is I had a similar thought. It was a similar observation about the dynamic of women. You got the woman who's like comfortable in her shoes and doesn't live up to society's norm of what it means to be a woman, and you got the other one who conforms to it. And when I say conform, I mean to the beauty standards and everything. It's like it's compromise too, but it's the stuff I'm willing to do to present myself as a quote unquote woman. All right. I can relate to it because I feel like I can relate to the woman who's on the left panel, and meaning that I am refusing to conform to society standard of masculinity. I just want to be myself. Fuck y'all. So I can connect to that part of the message. I'm also bringing it up because, like I was saying before, I had a similar thought about the two versions of femininity that I was presented. And the one on the right, I love how they use the word artificial feminine. And like I knew something was up with that because I was thinking about how the challenges black women have to take on to face in order to fit into society's definition of what it means to be a woman. That's why it's so easy for these white folks to attack Michelle Obama and be like, oh, she's actually a man. It's their way of saying because she's not white, because she's not beautiful, she's not a real woman. Do you know what I mean? And to me is, I think I'm really, because I'm just to get to the point is, for me is, I talked a lot about how my unenlightened days about women, relationships, the world, being a man, everything like that. But one of them too is, I'm making the connection between discovering porn at a young age and lusting and spending the rest of my life lusting after society's version of femininity, which is why the concept of, oh, she's supposed to be a partner, didn't make sense, didn't sing. It's the reason why I would go to dating profiles and I'm going after all these women who just on their profile just look super hot or feels and fits into this mold of what a femininity. I'm giving you all this word salad to say that she just look hot, super hot, super sexy. I can see her tits. I can see, you know, are she wearing tight clothes and something like that? Then, and you know, the first thing on my mind is sex, 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 click. And I'm reading her profile, and I'm and where she's specifying what she wants in a man, and everything I don't have, I'm taking it personally. I'm saying it wasn't enough for me to not understand women or what I should have been looking for in a woman. But it's also the fact how even the dating process was difficult for me because I was trying to attract chicks I couldn't afford. I'm just going to end with this one last line. I said, I was a hetero male lusting after the artificial. That's what I'm trying to, and this is why I was trying to be careful about what I'm saying, is because I'm not trying to diss. I am not. I'm trying to stay in my lane in this one. The lane that I'm saying is, growing up, yes, the woman who wanted to be herself was not being a real woman. And the woman who was trying to adhere to these standards, she was the right one, but I didn't have what it takes to be on. It's like, I think the more I think about this stuff, the more it makes sense. When I look about my past and my history in dating or attempting to find my quote soulmate, why I was doomed to failure. That's what I'm trying to say. If I had a kid, this is one of those things that I don't know how I would have explained it to him. But I would have made sure that he would have had a better understanding about life than I did.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
The reason that we're taught to devalue friendship is because if we actually valued friendship, we would actually have community, which would end the crisis of loneliness, which would end the stranglehold that authoritarianism has on us. We are alienated, and we are lonely, and we can't talk to people about our problems, so we believe in ideologies because they don't let us down. We curate worldviews that reinforce the fact that it's somehow cool to not have to contend with your own pain. What friendship does is actually make community real, so that people don't need to worship politicians. They can just go talk to someone in their life. They don't have to go back to abusive families because they have other families. Your family of origin is not your only family. Chosen family is a clarification of what the function of a family should be, which is to witness you in the open mic of your life, mess up and figure it out, and then change. And then people are like, I love when you change. That's not what families of origin do. They're like, be the same forever.
That was the voice of Alok. Let me get their full name. Alok, comedian, poet. You know what? Yeah, just Alok. I'm trying to get their last name. And and here's where I'm going with this. Initially, so like I said, at the beginning, I was talking about how on Wednesday, I didn't have anything to talk about. But when I was trying to force myself into a topic, I said, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to call this one Disappointing My Christian Parents. And Disappointing My Christian Parents. So the person you just heard was Alok Vimanon? Yeah, anyways. Yeah, I think E-L-O-K. And I am a big fan of their content. Let me back up. Big fan of their messaging. Their message. And every time they pop up in my timeline, if I'm ready to hear something deep, profound, I let it play. I'm gonna say I'm rarely disappointed. Rarely disappointed. I'm saying, come on, no one's perfect. I can't remember having a message that I was disappointed in, but I'm just saying, okay, all right, I'm never disappointed. I don't like saying never. That's my problem. Anyway, and here's where I'm going with this is, first, let me start by saying that Alok is usually spitting wisdom, saying something clever, something that I needed to hear, something that I could work with. Man, it makes my... I wish my final say could be as deep as them. And I... oh, there we go. Vade been on. Alok Vade been on. All right, I wrote down, hey, I'm an adult. All right, so I... This topic is disappointing my Christian parents. I've strayed away from the church. I'm still in contact with my parents, but it's not the same as it was before. And it's a very long conversation that only a few of you will probably understand. We could probably process, or maybe there's a few of you who might be able to relate. But my point is, I had an image of my parents going through my hard drive or going through my Instagram and coming up on Alok and then telling themselves, this is who you're getting your wisdom from. This is who you left Jesus for. Okay. The disappointing part is the realization that how I get my wisdom from a non-binary person. It shouldn't be surprising. I remember reading or hearing somewhere else how, I was going to say, before the white man, before Europe, like, took over the world, I mean, maybe a European society has this, right? But or Christianity took over the world, Abrahamic religion or descendant religions. There were societies who revered non-binary people. And there was reason to. They weren't out there saying, hey, listen to me, I know the way. It's as if they've observed the world long enough to be able to say something that you might want to hear. Or something that might help. Now, the topic of how we undervalue friendship, what triggered me to respond is because someone in the comment section, I forget, what did they say? Something bullshit. But I remember finding myself, what the fuck did they say? I think it was some bullshit, not all men or whatever. Just, I think it's the term is... grasping at straws, but didn't hear the message the way it was intended to be heard. And I remember replying with, oh, you're going to act like you've never heard the expression. I'll tell you what, let me look it up. You've never heard the people talk shit about the friend zone? Let me see if I can find a comment. It said, then I have to do a lot of digging. Oh, there we go. Okay. The person wrote in the comment section goes, who teaches us to devalue friendship? I wonder where the data comes from. These seems like sweeping generalization. Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. And I was like, you've never heard of the friend zone? I didn't need a stats or studies to realize it was a bullshit concept. Yeah. Anyways, what I'm getting at is, what I appreciate about what they're saying about how we devalue friendship is how also this also touches on the male loneliness epidemic. I think we should change that word or just to be make it more specific. It's not male loneliness epidemic. It's because I'm looking at it also from the point of view of there are a lot of people in relationships, men and women, probably more women than men, who are in relationships and they're like prisoners or they wish they were alone. They're looking forward to their partner like getting hit by a bus. And it's less about, it's not just about loneliness, but it's about loneliness that you deserve. Being a terrible person. How about this? I think I'm trying to say is there's a terrible person epidemic. Fuck it. I'll say there are terrible men epidemic. A lot of dudes who, especially men who expect to be worshipped, to be liked, expect to be partnered with this fake version of femininity, with a fake version of a woman, and not a woman who's like, oh, you're a human being? They want to be paired up with a doll. And that's what they're, because they don't have, because women are choosing to be more themselves, to them that's, oh, a loneliness epidemic to them. A lot of this loneliness comes from men's inabilities to be friends with a woman. That's what I'm trying to get at. All right. This was supposed to be a topic about disappointing my Christian parents. It's, you know what? I think... So the disappointment is how I'm getting wisdom from a non-binary person. And I'm enjoying it. I mean, you know, not, no turning back. It's just, I just can't stop looking at it from the perspective of my parents. But it's not just my parents. It's also the Christian family. Like, part of this is me also saying, fuck Jesus, fuck Christianity, fuck all, you know, fuck all y'all. A lot, fuck all you people who talk like you had all the answers and never did. Fuck all you for being one person and being something different. I think, yeah, oh my God. I think that's what I appreciate about non-binary people or members of the LGBTQ community, is because LGBTQ plus community is the, they're the only ones trying to be their more authentic self, which to me should be a life journey, should be a purpose in someone's life. By the way, yeah, so this was going to be the final say for the next episode, but I'll stop there. Remember, I started this episode with having nothing to say, and here I am doing a lot of talking. Yeah, also, I've been meaning, because I've been collecting clips from Elope on my in my little notepad, and this is me finally getting around to saying something about it. Saying something, period. All right, I guess that's it for randomness, quotable and randomness. Yeah, let's jump in. I'm just making sure. And yeah, let's jump into, oh, right, okay. This also inspired today's clip. This is from, this is from Andra Berghoff. And yeah, and this is what I mean by being terrible people.
Isolation turns into aggression, and guess who that's taken out on? So as a woman, before you promote men aren't lonely enough, be very careful, because the consequences may be coming for you.
Hey Brad, what do you mean by that?
All right, so the content creator speaking, like, or duetting, or the incoming, the stitching, that is, her name is Andra. I'm just gonna call her Andra, even though, yeah, she shows her last name. Yeah, links will be in the show notes. And her point is, dude, you're threatening us, man. And then and her point is, you're threatening us, and you motherfuckers wonder about this loneliness epidemic. Yeah, I'm adding to it to being like, yes, that is a threat. It's this entitlement some men have. I guess we were born with it. This entitlement some men have into companionship. And this motherfucker figures he's going to threaten his way into our relationship. It's fucked up that none of us are encouraged to just be better people. Or maybe we are, but we just not trying to hear it and whatnot. Yeah, so fuck you, Brad. Watch your mouth. And I was going to say, come to death row. No, that's not what I meant. All right. Okay, that's it. I think I've said all I wanted to say. Let's jump into final say. But before we do that, I'm going to take a quick break. All right, I'm back. What time is it? Yeah, okay, I'm going to keep this one short. This was, yeah, it's going to be a short. All right, like, I was thinking a lot about how I was uninspired on Wednesday to record. And sometimes it happens. There are things I want to say on this podcast. Don't feel like I should or could or like I should. Like being an adult, sometimes I feel like the white person who just wants to yell, nigger, out the window. The difference between me and them is I'm admitting that sometimes I want to say shit and not have to face the consequences for saying them. I understand that feeling. It's fucked up. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, I'm not getting to that. It's fucked up that I could understand that. By the way, being a black person, you tend to understand white people's reality. And not that you agree with it or you won't, but you understand what makes them tick. But yes, feeling repressed, feeling feeling repressed. And if I do talk, all I'm going to do is put on a performance. I'm going to, and that's, it gets tiring. It's a conversation I had with my therapist about, actually, I didn't use those words, but sometimes all my human connection comes down to a fucking performance. Like, I'm not being authentic. I'm being someone else. And one thing I promised myself not to be like that is on this fucking podcast. But yeah, I was, the thought of feeling repressed in my words came to me. I was taking this, it's called the ITIL-4 training. What's ITIL-4? Let me, ITIL-4 is some training to, it's essentially training that on how to run an IT shop, basically. Not how to do technical shit, but just the bigger image, right? Anyway, there was a part where, well, I should say that I was pretty much engaged in the whole, for the most part. The part where I got silent is the part where my mind was like, this is bullshit, or this is not applicable, this is all there. There was a part where we were talking about bringing value to your customers, right? Constantly, I forget what the word they use, but constantly, like as you're doing your job, you're constantly finding ways to make sure you're bringing values to your client. Like, for instance, maybe it took me 2 days to return an email to respond to a client when I could have done it in 5 minutes. You know, like, find ways to do shit that'll make the client go, damn, I love you motherfuckers, or whatever. You know, I'm bringing values to them. Like, paying attention when a motherfucker says, hey, it's kind of urgent. Kind of, you know, I mean, I might lose my job. And if I lose my job, you're losing your job. You know what I mean? So bringing, constantly finding ways to improve shit, making improvements. And what bothered me is, okay, I need to be careful. And this is, again, I need to be careful about what I'm about to say, because I won't identify where I work. But I'm going to say I'm one of those office locations that changed their mind about letting people work from home. People want to go back to the old days, and they want to, so they've increased the amount of time they need people to be in the office. To report from the office after they've got full proof that shit could be accomplished from the comfort of their home. Or like the term was hybrid model, you know, a bit more of work from home, and then you could work. And then, but when there's particular days, we need you to report into an office. We need your ass in a fucking cubicle sitting next to motherfuckers who talk loud, whatever, man. We need you to put on a performance, especially you, Blackie, because we want to convince our white employees that they're not racist. Anyways, but so the chapter focused on doing shit that's constantly bringing value to your customers. And the whole time I'm thinking about, y'all got me on this training that's telling me to constantly find value, but in your infinite wisdom, y'all got us in the office with no proof or no documentation about, hey, by y'all having your ass, your seats in here, it brings value to our client. Which is bullshit, because they try to sell us on that. It's bullshit. It's bullshit because, like, it would have been different if we were having a conversation that we've been noticing that since you motherfuckers have been home, the quality of our product, clients haven't been getting value. When the reality is, nah, we need you in here because we need you to, like, buy the expensive coffee downtown. We need to make downtown Ottawa look like there's people in the city. Yeah, I mean, so essentially what you're saying is y'all want us to put on a performance. But you know what I mean? It's like you're taking this training telling you to constantly make improvements, but you're put in situations that don't bring value to your customers. You see the contradiction? Like, I wanted to explode the whole time he was speaking. This is... This is one of those things that make me, like, I hate being on this planet. I hate being on Earth. Because you're told one thing, but you got to behave another way. This is one of those shit that, one of those things that most people could probably, like, brush off. It's just like, yeah, one of life's contradiction. I'm used to it. But for me, it, like, drives me fucking nuts. Y'all hear what I'm trying to say here? It's like they send you on these self-help, these promos to, like, bring value to your customer, to your employers, but don't expect us to do the same. I wanted to say something, but I knew it was just going to distract. It was going to cause a conversation that was going to distract the room from, distract everybody from the actual training. So I just held it in. I held it in. I hate having to hold in certain shit. And that's how I felt like a white person who wanted to say nigger, but in this case the person would have been offended, would have been my employer. I don't, you know, I was listening to what's his name, Lupe Fiasco. He's got a song, and this is not the first time I've had this feeling, like I'm not recording because I don't feel comfortable saying the shit that I actually want to say. This won't be the first time. And then sometimes, yeah, it's better for me to just be silent than to put on a performance, than just to lie to you and say shit that I don't actually give a fuck, care about. Because then what's the point of podcast? Maybe that's why I haven't been enjoying podcasting, because I haven't been... No, that's not true. No, just the past few days, because I knew I wasn't going to be speaking from the heart. I'm going to be talking about some random bullshit like, I don't know, the price of tea or how I had a bubble tea not too long ago. And, you know, things I don't give a fuck, don't care about. Right. Let me wrap this. Yeah, so this is not the first time I've heard it before. Okay. I'm about to quote Lupe Fiasco. Even though I'm not a big fan of the dude sometimes, not all the time. He's got some good music, but sometimes he says some stupid shit. But I appreciate this one song he's got. And he goes, words I never said. And it's, and in there, he's being political. And what's, I mean, not, it's not that he's being political, but he says, he speaks his mind. And what's interesting, he speaks his mind. And there's a few things he says in there that bothered me, which I believe is the point. And I love the chorus. Shout out to Skylar Gray. She goes, it's so loud inside my head with the words that I should have said. As I drown in my regrets, I can't take back the words I never said. Can't take back the words I never said. I think that's the spirit I'm trying to go into. It's, yeah, I think I'm, unlike him, I'm always scared of saying things that I'll regret or saying things that I later decide that, yeah, I didn't want those consequences. That's not, I didn't want to face the consequences. I didn't want to face the consequences for my words. That's about it. Yeah. I think I'm going to title today's episode, I Have Nothing to Say, even though it's bullshit. Even though I ended up saying some stuff that's been in the back of my mind for a while. And yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is. I'm going to pretend like I've said everything that I needed to say, even though I didn't think I had anything to say.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
I mean, deep, yeah. And yeah, and in here, and in here, and also it's getting warm, and also I want to get ready for House of the Dragons. Yeah. All right, and this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. And website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast41@gmail.com. As usual, holla if you hear me. The shit that I talk about, the stuff that I talk about is I'm hoping to reach out to members of my tribe. Or just, you know, if it makes you react. I was just thinking about that, about the how I want attention, but I avoid saying things that will get me the attention because I'm trying to be safe. It's amazing. All the times that I've ever posted something online that's gotten attention, it was always something that I never actually put any thoughts into it. And then I'm boom. I was thinking about that this white lady who was I'm wrapping up the show. I was thinking about this white lady who was on TikTok, who what's interesting is she probably didn't intend it that way, but didn't realize she was doing it. But she was there was a trend on TikTok, and I forget the name of the song, but it's a simple dance, and it's these black folks are doing a simple dance with their arm raising, and then this white woman comes on, and she basically she dissed the people for doing the move. She goes, "Hey, are we okay?" and whatever, right? I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt that unbeknownst to her, she didn't realize that she was like pressing on an old wound a lot of us black folks have felt growing up, and you've had white people just poke fun at things you did or do or that you found cool, or you got bullied over her. I don't think she realized it, because what makes me think is because there was a lot of people who came back, you know, just dissed her for it, or she got a lot of flack for it. And I'm one of the people who gave her flack for it. I'm like, I didn't attack her directly. I just jumped on the comment section of, yeah, white folks don't understand this and blah, 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 blah. I saw her apology video. It wasn't an apology. It was more like, yo, she was in tears, and it felt real. A part of me, I was too angry to want it to like be sensitive to her tears, but those tears felt real. And it's like she felt the wrath of the internet, and that's not what she intended. She probably thought a few of her friends were going to catch it and laugh and whatever, and then ha ha ha, kiki. But she didn't realize that a lot of old wounds were felt. She like touched an old wound, but those tears, the way she was like, I didn't mean it. Like, oh my God, I probably going to kill myself. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she got off online. The internet can be a cruel beast. I've posted shit online meant to be funny, and I felt the wrath. I felt like it came off like the wrath of the internet. But it just had me thinking. It's like, I forgot. The point I was in the middle of making is, holla if you hear me. I want you to believe that everything that I do is, you know, well-intended, except for Whitey. Fuck you, Whitey. Yeah, except for Whitey. I purposely start out to say that the only person who should feel uncomfortable on this podcast is Whitey. Everyone else, feel free to be like, hey, point you made, I want to have a discussion about it. And who knows, maybe we'll synergize, or maybe we'll be like, hey, fuck you, this podcast isn't for you, or whatnot. I might learn something, or I might be like, stand my ground and be like, nah, whatever. All this to say, holler if you hear me, shut up podcast, 411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Ooh, blue. Ooh,
blue. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. You see, it says it at the beginning. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.